Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hour two, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Red Sox swept by the Angels. They dropped 5 out of 6 against the Angels, Keefe.
The Angels have their number. They got Sox, maybe it's buzzard's luck.
But yesterday that
5 or 6.
That pest Neto was out of the lineup. I feel like that guy just hits ropes every time he's up there.
Thought they had a chance with no Neto.
Diving all over the field. No Neto yesterday. They still lost.
Yeah, but Kikuchi was dealing. Sometimes you just got to tip your cap.
Sometimes.
Yeah, you just got to say, listen, the boys didn't have it today. Struck out. How would they strike out?
14 times.
He got 12 of them.
12 against Kikuchi, yeah. And they led in all three of these games. Now, they were all early leads. 3-0 in the Bueller start. 2-0 yesterday. 1-0, not a huge lead, but 1-0 into the eighth in the middle game. They led in all of them, and they still lost.
2-0 is even more demoralizing when it's 2-0 after the first, and then you score 2 for the game.
It's the hardest
lead in baseball.
Hardest lead in baseball.
Yeah, you don't want that. Yeah, exactly. As the Red Sox prove.
Nick gets it.
Yeah. On a daily basis. Yeah, that is tough. I mean, the lineup is, you know, even the lefty lineup with the two lefty killers in there, it's kind of a joke lineup.
I forgot to bet them yesterday. A good thing I didn't. Oh, wait, did they hit run plus?
Gonzo had a hit and a run. Romy did.
Oh, Gonzo.
I call him Gonzo. I call all Gonzalez as Gonzo.
Yeah, right.
Even the new Celtic, Gonzo.
Should we just get all three of them on the show?
Yes.
We'll just do man-to-man-to-man just with all of them.
All three at the same time?
They could be man-to-man-to-man.
Be like, you guys
just
related?
Let them talk to each
Gonzo
other.
Gonzo to Gonzo to Gonzo.
What was it like growing up in the same house? They're like, what? But yeah, I mean, they scored early, and then they weren't able to score ever again. It's been sort of the theme. They'll get you 2-3 runs, then they're going to kind of check out.
And they're done, yeah.
The starting pitching had actually had a stretch where they'd been going a little bit deeper into games. You know, I think...
Yeah, this is part of what Breslow said this morning. He's like, we pitched well for like 2 weeks. So we won
they
a bunch
did.
Of games. Yeah.
I think Will might have mentioned it on the broadcast. I think going into yesterday's game, they had like 11 of 14 starts had been quote-unquote quality starts. Like, their guys have gone 6 innings. They're not giving up a ton of runs. They've been able to give the bullpen a little bit of a break. Yesterday, obviously not the case with Fitz giving up a couple of home runs through 4 and then turning it over to the pen, and they just obviously didn't have it. And it's brutal, too. The Angels aren't good. The Angels are a 500 team, but they're 5-1 against the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. So, like, that is just brutal. You thought you were going to be able to maybe win a series. Also, this is a series where Crochet did pitch, and you still get swept. And, you know, Alex Bregman might not be back until after the All-Star break, so it doesn't seem like there's any real help to the lineup on the way.
Yeah, so that is scary.
That's bad, because I thought one of the reasons for Marcelo Meyer playing second base was, oh, Bregman's back soon. No,
he's just not. They love Nate Eaton at third.
He was over 2 2Ks.
Cora said yesterday, it quote-unquote looks like Bregman won't be back until after the All-Star break, so we're talking July 18th at the earliest.
I mean,
I don't love that.
At this rate, how many games out will they be
then? At the current pace? I mean, a lot.
They have, 16 games between now and the All-Star break?
What are you hoping they're within the wild card coming out of the All-Star break?
No.
It's got to be closer than that.
It's got to be where they're at now. It's got to be inside of 3. Right now it's 2.5.
3 is my exact number. If you're more than 3 at the All-Star break, I don't want to say you blow it up and sell, but I won't feel good about it.
No, because the other thing is it's pretty congested too, right? There's a bunch of teams. So it's one thing to be 2 games out and chasing one team. Mm-hmm. You're like, all right, you're just going to be better than them. But it's like, well, you got 3 teams all around you. That or 4 teams even all around? Like, they have a lot of teams within 2 games of them. So, yeah, it's not looking great. And it's hard to feel like, all right, how is this team going to get on a run? They have one starting pitcher you feel good about right now, and really almost nobody in the lineup. Like, nobody's really doing much. You see these, like, spurts, right? Like, Meyer will have a good game, or, like, Seidon Rafaela will have, like, a couple of good games, and then it's nothing.
Nope.
Well, you don't like that your leadoff hitter's hitting 253?
I don't.
I'm not a fan of
I
that.
I don't love that. Nope. He's really kind of letting them down again, going back to Jaren Duran, because if you just said, hey, forget about all the stuff that happened with the team, like with the, the Devers situation. But if you were just like, hey, Casas is hurt and Devers is like hurt, for example, and they're not in there. You're like, all right, well, you got Jaren Duran to probably carry a lot of the offense, get on base all the time, and then have the guys behind. Like, you're not going to win games 7-6 all the time, but he should be sort of the igniter of the offense. We were talking about him, what was he, top 5 in WAR last year?
Oh, sure.
With, like,
I believe
Ohtani
it.
And Soto and Judge and Jaren Duran. Like, Gunnar Henderson, Bobby Witt, probably. Oh. Like, and Jaren
that
Duran.
That was his company.
And, like, now it's not even close. So that's been one of the big reasons for the huge drop-off this year. The whole team.
617-779-7937. I want to get into something else Breslow said, and then something annoying that Cora said after the game yesterday, because I do think he's back on the hot seat. But let's go to the phones here. Sorja is in Mansfield. What's up, Sorja?
Jones and Keith, how are we today?
Doing great. Tremendous.
I thought that Misery Business, Paramore Rejoin, before last break was really apropos, because this Red Sox team right now is really misery. 8-65 in the last two games? I mean, what are we doing? You mentioned, Keith, Crochet's great pitching, 107 pitches, 10 strikeouts, and you guys are talking about how much culpability Cora has. I'm wondering, at what point does he lose the locker room, where it's like guys are coming in and out and actually doing their job, and then some people are so inconsistent?
I'm sorry. He had more, but let's just stick with that for a second. Didn't Cora has lost the clubhouse?
I think more so it's just they don't have a lot of good players right now.
Yeah,
I think it's more that.
I don't think they've tuned him out. I think they're still playing for him. They're losing games, and he's frustrated. I think he's losing the fan base. I don't think he's lost the clubhouse, though, if I'm being fair to Cora. Do you think the Devers trade has put Cora on the hot seat? Or do you think in a weird way it's given him some job security, because people now look at it and go, well, what the hell is he supposed to do without Devers?
Hot seat. Now, I don't know how John Henry views it, but my sense would be hot seat, because for two reasons. Well, one,
I think he's in hot water with Henry from the way he handled the Devers situation.
That's my point. Yeah. It's like, so Devers being gone shouldn't give him an excuse. In fact, Devers is gone in part because you couldn't do your job. You did a poor job there, but we're almost giving you an out. We're saying, all right, we're going to get rid of this guy. We're going to lose a headache for you, but figure it out. 2 days after Devers was traded, they were in a playoff spot. So it's not like you traded Devers, you were already down 5 games, and now you got to like overcome all these things. Like, no. Play the way you were playing, and in the American League, you might still make the playoffs. And if things start to fall apart, be like, all right, you had one major headache, which you couldn't solve, so we solved it for you, and then you got worse after the fact. And if they really like Breslow, which it seems like they do, they being like Henry Warner, at the end of the year, if this team misses the playoffs, I think one of those guys has to go, and they might side with Breslow more, actually let him pick his manager, and then there goes Cora, even though they just gave him the extension.
See, I hope they do that. Like, you should let your GM pick his manager, and if they both fail, well, then fire them both. They haven't done that.
Like the Nuggets did.
Yeah.
Those guys disagreed, and then they were like, you're both gone.
Yeah, and so, I think they should retain Breslow longer than Cora. Although, again, who knows with Cora's contract situation, since they just paid him, is probably the one thing keeping him there.
Yeah.
I think with fans, most fans may look at it and give Cora more of an excuse and, get the fans off his back a little bit. I think he's in a bad place with Henry, and I'd imagine he knows that, which is why ultimately, and I'm sure begrudgingly, he got on board with the Devers trade at the last second. Like, convenient for him always, reading the tea leaves, understanding which way the wind's blowing, he at the last second, the last week, and maybe it was Devers not running out a ball on national TV against the Yankees, but in the last week, he finally got on board with moving on from Rafi Devers, right when it was convenient, probably when he knew he was out the door.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like this answer from Cora yesterday, although I thought Breslow, maybe on purpose, maybe indirectly, wound up defending Cora this morning. Here's what Cora had to say about all the strikeouts against the Angels. This was yesterday after the game.
There were 38 strikeouts over this series. How alarming a number is that?
I don't know. If you follow us, we've been striking out since day one, so we have to make adjustments.
Okay.
So I don't know if you've kept up, but we strike out a ton.
I would think the manager would be in charge of that, or, the hitting coach, or whomever. Who is that a shot at? Keith? Was he like, was he taking some ownership there? Is that a shot at the players? Is that a shot at Breslow and Driveline? Like, who's that a shot at?
I think it's a little bit of Driveline. I think, well, it's a little bit at the reporter.
Yeah.
It's a quick shot at him.
Yeah, did you pay attention?
Hey, pay attention, dude. We struck out all the time. He's like, okay, then how concerning is that all the time then? Like, fine, we can twist it that. He's like, I was just talking about this series. Fine, answer the question the same way. How many games have they played? 80 games or whatever? You're at the halfway point of the season. So this is what I've always wondered is like, are you really going to be able to change your whole philosophy? You've been doing it now for over a year. You did it all spring training. Like, this is what you were preparing your guys to do. Hit the ball in the air, hit a lot of home runs. It has led to a zillion strikeouts. So I don't know if you're going to be able to change it on the fly, but I think that's Cora at least trying to push the blame off of him, right? They're third in the majors in strikeouts behind, believe it or not, the team they just faced, the Angels, mm-hmm. who they struck out a ton yesterday too, and the Rockies, who might be the worst baseball team in the history of baseball. Like, that's the company they keep.
So I think it's a shot at the roster he's been given is what I think. He's like, yeah, we've been striking out since day one. What
Could
do you want
be.
Me to do? And so, yeah, we got to make adjustments. He kind of, you know, at least takes a little bit of the blame, or at least sounds like he's taking some of the blame. I think that's a shot at the roster. One other answer from Breslow that jumped out to me, I thought he gave Cora a pretty big out, whether he intended to do it or not. I think Greg asked Breslow, why do you guys keep running into outs? Why do you keep making errors on the bases? I don't think Greg asked this, but I would lump in like the elevated strikeouts as well.
Yeah.
Like these seemingly...
Fundamentals.
Yeah.
Just the Tom Emanski stuff.
These controllable things that are fundamental. Why do you keep effing them up over and over and over again? And Greg even asked him, he's like, do you got to look at the manager? Like, what are you going to look at? Why do you keep doing it? And Breslow said something interesting. He said, we got to look at how we get these guys prepared to come to the big leagues. And I'm like, man, so I immediately think of like the Roman Anthony video in the outfield where he's taking ground balls after his debut. I think about Christian Campbell, who I guess you could make a case they had him ready, hit for a month, but clearly they skipped some steps in his development on the way to the major leagues. Big league pitchers caught on. They understood where they could attack him. He could never field. And so I thought that was an interesting answer from Breslow. It's like, are we getting these guys ready? Are we doing the right thing? And my guess is that's kind of what Cora's talking about.
So is it more of a shot at Chad Tracy, like the Worcester manager, or the guy in Portland, or whatever else?
I think it was an honest answer from Breslow saying, we're not doing a good enough job. I mean, I think he was taking some blame there. And I think as much as people hate him, I think he took blame about not communicating with Devers. I think he's taking blame for that. Like they're looking at, because he has to be blown away.
But
at all three of their big prospects are here and none of them are doing anything.
But also,
one's already back in Worcester.
Correct.
The other two are here stinking up the joint. Yeah. And I think that surprises him. And they're really looking at what they're doing and what they're doing wrong. That doesn't mean they're going to correct it. But I think they're at least second-guessing why these guys aren't hitting the ground running. I think that's what he was saying.
So, yeah, and you might be right about that. I do think, just to take the strikeout part of it for a second, the top four guys on the team in strikeouts, offense, like at the plate, I mean.
Yep.
Trevor Story,
mm-hmm.
who they already gave, not these guys, but they gave him a ton of money, and he's a major leaguer. You acquired him as an all-star player.
Yep. Long-time major leaguer.
Yeah. Jaron Duran. Who
so that surprised
was
me.
Great a year ago.
He's second on the team in strikeouts.
He struck out.
He's up there in baseball.
Yeah.
Is he?
Oh yeah. Oh for sure. Yeah. Strikeouts in baseball. He is 16th.
Now in fairness,
Trevor Story's sixth.
I bet he's way up there in at bats too. But I didn't realize he's striking out that much.
He leads the league in at bats.
Yeah. Okay. But still, like he's,
no. But it's an elevated strikeout rate for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And his on base percentage isn't nearly high enough for that guy. Rafael Devers is third.
Makes sense.
And then he's
already striking out a ton with the Giants.
And
too.
Then Christian Campbell. So that's sort of like the, all right, was this guy ready for the majors type of thing? What are you having him do? Is he really a home run hitter? And that's what you're trying to have him do. But those are four guys. But I bring that up to say the team has been striking out all year, to Cora's point. And, you know, for people on the text line, be like, what do you want Cora to do? The team stinks. Story, Duran, and Devers are three of your biggest issues, at least as far as this one thing is concerned. And then also, we've seen Duran run into outs. We've seen Duran boot balls around. And then Devers was so bad defensively, they had to move him out of the thing. And those are supposed to be three guys that you can rely on. And so they've let them down for sure. But I don't know if that's did the organization get these guys ready to go? I mean, those are your top guys.
So I thought that was an interesting answer, but that's fair. Like the veterans are letting them down.
Yep.
And that that includes Devers to a degree while he was here.
Yeah,
certainly
with
the strikeouts, and again, that he can't help the team in the field, that's a problem. Just looking at Duran, you're right. His strikeout rate is up from a year ago. It was like 22% last year. It's like 24% this year. That's the second lowest of his career. Like, he is still strike on a
weird
a percentage basis.
Yeah.
He's striking out less this year than he did.
Do you have his walk rate? Is that in front of you?
Yep.
Because I feel like he's just not getting on. I don't know. Did he walk much last year?
His walk rate is the – last year was the highest of his career. This year is the second lowest of his career.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Because you can sort of tell that. So that feels different, right? So I guess he did strike out a decent amount last year, but he was just getting on base a lot more and scoring a ton of runs.
617-779-7937. We'll talk to Rob Bradford about all this. He joins us every Thursday at 11:30. Let's go up to New Hampshire and talk to Mark. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, fellas. Great show. Appreciate you guys bringing it every day.
Thank you.
So I think a lot of it, is Breslow and the fact that he did not build this team very well. This is a really young team. I mean, even Duran, this is only his third full season. I mean, and so the veterans they have, I mean, dude, stories. Talk about they should send somebody down. They should send his ass down and put Mayer at shortstop. But they don't have the veterans, and they're hoping these prospects are going to step in, and they're putting so much pressure on them to perform at the highest level, where other teams aren't doing that. They're bringing a prospect in amongst their veterans and helping them along the way. We're just throwing them all in the fire. So then you're going to have some games are really good, some games are really frustrating. And so I think that's probably where Cora's coming from.
Yeah, well, in fairness, Cora signed up for it. Like, Cora can cry about it all he wants. He took their money. And he knew what was on the horizon. So Cora, I think, was fair to cry about it before he took his extension. He was still crying, but he at least had a point. Once you took their money, you know what they're doing. You know the prospects are knocking on the door. You know Breslow. You understand what's going on. So I don't really give Cora much of an out there. He signed up for it. So now you got to deal with it. That is a fair criticism by a fan, though, to say they're not easing one guy in at a time. I mean, they were. It was Campbell to open. Then it was Meyer. Then a couple weeks later, it was Anthony. But I've heard this criticism before. It's not like, all right, we're going to add Pedroia here, Papelbon there, Lester here,
yeah, it was
Ellsbury
Pedroia
there.
Pedroia with like, a loaded team, you're going to bat ninth, play second base, and we're going to let you get out of your funk.
And it was like one a year over four years. This is three all at once.
All at once. Well, yeah, like again, sort of staggered. But
within a couple of months.
But Meyer not even playing with Bregman. Meyer is now replacing Bregman, who is playing like an all-star this year. And then Roman Anthony finally gets called up, and it's like, well, we don't want too much pressure on him, but we're going to have him hit second or third every game. Wait a minute. So now, like, the whole offense is now reliant on the young guys. So they were kind of forced into that, to the caller's point, being like, he wishes, like, other teams, you sort of surround them with veterans. The problem is some of the veterans were the ones that were getting hurt. And how many more games could we see Nick Sogard and Nate Eaton and all these guys playing? Like, they kind of had to play them. One last thing on Jaren Duran real quick. We were talking about some of his other numbers. Last year, or actually this year, he's on pace to score 81 runs.
Mm-hmm.
How many runs do you think he scored last year?
Oh, 120?
Yeah, 111. So, like, just he individually is off, like, a 30-run pace, which, again, you could say, well, some of that's the guys behind him, but a lot of it's him. Like, he's just not getting on base at the
I would say more of that is him, because Devers, while he was here, and I've done plenty of dumping on Devers.
Yeah.
But I think he was leading the American League in RBIs, if I'm not mistaken, or he was one
true.
Or two.
It was baseball.
Yeah, Devers was sucking.
So he's leading baseball in RBIs.
He was at one point. Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, he's still
It's not like the guy behind him wasn't driving him in.
True.
617-779-7937. One thing that annoyed me about Breslow, I meant to bring this up earlier. Maybe we can ask Bradford about this when we talk to Rob Bradford about 10 minutes from now. Greg asked him directly, are you buyers or sellers at the trade deadline? He said, we're looking at the deadline as an opportunity to bolster the team. We want to add to this team.
Yeah.
He answered the question, but couldn't you say buyers?
Well, he's not full human.
I know, but couldn't you just say you're given the option, buyer or seller, just say, oh, we're going to be buyers. Why do you have to give like this beat
caveats
around the bush?
Yeah.
We're looking for an opportunity to bolster the team. We want to add, blah, blah, blah. Like, just say buyers.
But last year he was asked the same thing, and he kind of danced around it, and he clearly didn't feel confident in this team.
This was
last
at least
year's
more
team
of a confident answer.
And I don't know why, based on watching it the last week, but he does feel a little bit better about this team.
By Robo Breslow standards.
Correct.
That was a more bullish answer.
Loves the team.
Fair. 617-779-7937. We got all your feedback there. We'll get to Rob Bradford. He joins us every week at this time. That's right after Trending.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
With Billy Laney. Jones and Keith here on WEEI. Every Thursday at 11:30, we check in with Rob Bradford, WEEI.com. Baseball is a Boring podcast. Check him out on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get that on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. Rob Bradford brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. Rob Bradford, how are we doing this week?
McFarland. Oh, my goodness. I'm so good. The red-eye flight always seems like a good idea at the time. Always a terrible idea, finally shaking off that. So I feel good. Feel good to be with you guys.
Okay. Well, the Red Sox, watching them doesn't feel very good
these days.
How are we feeling about the ball club?
It's basically the same question that was given Craig Breslow out of the gate from Greg.
Yeah,
I think I will give a far less articulate answer and just say you don't feel good. You do not feel good about this. And I don't know if you want mad foe, glad foe, or sad foe. I don't know what you want.
Wow.
But I'm erring toward mad foe because I look at what has happened. And I particularly that quote from Breslow in the Zoom call, you know, where he said, you know, we could end up with more wins. We think we end up with more wins doing it this way than basically if we were going to do it with the Devers. Well, it may end up that way. But even this last week, there's been so many flawed elements of this. The biggest thing is that, okay, you want to turn this over. You want to turn over the vibe of the team. You thought you could get something back in terms of money and in terms of these pitchers. That's fine, but what you didn't do was you didn't replace a bat, and you just were counting on a lot of these players to take a step up, and almost all of them have taken a step back. And where that has left you, in a tremendously uncomfortable position at a most important time as you wait for Alex Bregman and Masa Yoshida to come back after the All-Star break. So what I'm saying is that in this time where you are going to define whether or not this trade has worked, whether it's going to define whether or not you're going to actually be a buyer at the deadline, you've left yourself in a spot where you can't score any runs because you don't have that guy in the middle of the order. That's why I'm like, man, this is right now as we sit here, the timing of this just does not look good.
Yeah, the trade, obviously you're not going to help your offense with the pieces that are coming back, but it'd be easier to defend the trade if you're Breslow if we actually saw Jordan Hicks or Kyle Harrison. Are we ever going to see either one of these guys?
Yeah, I mean, Harrison's pitching tonight. I think that you'll probably see Harrison maybe in a week or so. Hicks the same way. And I know that Craig came on and he talked about, and I know that Alex has also talked about this, is that it's the pitching, it's the defense, it's the base running, it's all of this. But we can't ignore what not having an offense has done. Because I do think that when you don't have an offense, when you know that scoring runs is going to be a problem, that puts the pressure on everybody else. And that makes everything else worse. That makes everything else a lot more difficult. I think that's exactly what we've seen over the last 9 games here. So, yeah, I mean, I look at it this way. Is that, and I wrote this today, if we want to juxtapose this against the Manny Ramirez trade, which is sort of along the same lines, middle of the season, turning things over for the sake of the clubhouse, so forth and so on. Well, you got Jason Bay back, and you also had other guys around him. Like in this trade, right now as we sit here, the unfortunate thing is that you're reliant on Roman Anthony out of nowhere to be a number three hitter. You're reliant on Carlos Narvaez.
When there's not a lefty on the mound.
Right. Yeah, exactly. We're relying on a lot of these guys who maybe have had decent years up to this point, and now they're taking a turn. There isn't the no doubt about it guys that you did have back when you traded Manny, and that's the biggest difference.
Yeah, that's fair. And I you said Kyle Harrison, because I feel similar to Keith, where Breslow was trying to defend the trade. And he's like, well, we really like what we got back. Hicks and Harrison, like, what a return. It's like, they're in Worcester. Why is Harrison in Worcester? Are they manipulating service time to get an extra year of control?
Well, you could certainly make that case. Because I do think that if they get to the first week of July, they'll get an extra year. They'll also make the case of, and they've done this before with pitchers, where, okay, we're going to get you into our system. We're going to fiddle with this, fiddle with that, and then you're going to become the guy that we want. And we've seen that with other organizations. When they get a guy in, we're going to teach you what we see, and we're going to go from there. So I can't really answer that question. All I know is this.
They do get another year of service time by waiting.
Yeah, I believe they do. Okay.
That kind of answers it to me. But
yeah, I believe it. Like, but you know, we'll have to dig deeper into that. But I do think this is that this could, and they could be right, man. Like, they could be right. These guys could actually be helpful pieces of a winning team. But I'll come back to it. The problem is that the timing of this with the offense is really, really tough to take, because, you know, and I've heard other people say this about the Roman Anthony situation, when they didn't want to bring up Roman Anthony, and they said that one of the reasons they didn't want to bring up Roman Anthony was because they didn't want to put too much pressure on him and drop him in. And then really, I mean, there's no way around viewing it how it is right now. Well, you've put a lot of the pressure on him. You're hitting him as a legitimate middle of the order guy. And so, you know, I look at it that way. I'm like, well, what has changed? And what has changed, obviously, is that you have no other options to go to. And that's where a big part of this situation is flawed.
Do you have any thoughts as to why Jarren Duran is taking a big step backwards this year? And also, what is the likelihood he could be traded?
I don't know why he's taking a step back. I think it's one of the biggest mysteries, because he's healthy. He was a dynamic. We can't forget what a dynamic player he was last year. I think defensively and offensively, he has taken a step back. So I don't have an answer for that. In terms of is he going to be traded, I think we're going to have to ride this out. And this is one of the things that we said this when it comes to the Devers trade, this whole dynamic with this team. You have about a month. You have about a month to define what this whole deal, where you're going to land. Because I don't think there's any question that if you do think that you're going to end up with more wins with this team as after doing this deal, the whole plan was to have a good Jarren Duran at the top of the order. The whole plan was to have Jarren Duran be part of the solution, not part of the problem. But, you know, you have to figure this out. And if so, what I'm saying is that if they are selling, yeah, I mean, I think that Jarren Duran could be on the table. And by the way, guys, you know, I'm ranting and raving about what's here and then what's now. But I do think that you can still salvage this. And I think the first step you do to salvaging it is you have to actually be as aggressive as you were when you came to the Devers trade. You have to do this again. You have to be aggressive. Carlos Santana 2 years ago was traded. The Seattle Mariners were two games under 500. The Seattle Mariners trade for Carlos Santana and went on like this epic run, and where they went like 40-12 or something like that. And I'm not saying that's all because of one player, but if you're willing to be aggressive in mid-June with Rafael Devers, you have to acknowledge that you have to be also equally as aggressive in late June when it comes to fixing whatever ails you.
Well, Breslow said that in his own robot way earlier today. He's like, asked directly, would they be buyers or sellers? He did say he wanted to add. I mean, he beat around the bush a little bit. But he did say he wanted to add. But that doesn't mean they're going to do it immediately. That might mean closer to
the end of July. But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, Adam. If you don't, and I get waiting, and you have to wait, and the market is
tough. I'm with you. Do it right now.
I mean, this isn't your normal trade deadline for the Boston Red Sox. You have to define what you are earlier than you ever have been, because you have turned over the roster. You have thinned yourself out so much. And if you take a turn for the worse and you do wait, then you're going to dig yourself a hole that you're going to end up being sellers, and the conversation completely changes.
Trust me, you're preaching to the choir. I'd love for them to make a trade tonight. Is Bregman
what's the situation with Alex Bregman? He's not coming back until after the All-Star break. Boris the other day said he'd talk deal, which, of course, duh. We also had Jeff Passan put Alex Bregman at the top of his trade candidates list. Only a 10% chance of him moving. So what exactly is the situation with Bregman?
Well, I mean, in terms of the injury, is what it is. He keeps coming back. They better hope that he comes back right after the All-Star break. He was taking the Instagram him running in fields and everything else. So I thought there was maybe a cart before the horse a little bit in terms of him coming back. But, you know, that's about the timeline that we thought it was going to be. When it comes to Bregman, yeah, you're right. I mean, when Boris says that, it was a good get by Tim Healy. But when Boris says that, it's like, yeah, you know, like, what else is he going to say? So that doesn't surprise. If you're talking about when have you started talking with Alex Bregman, and I think that Craig Breslow, if you read between the lines, it doesn't seem like they have. Now, I'll say this. I hear everybody was saying he's going to jump ship. He's out after this year. I don't know about that, man. Like, I don't know about that. Like, I could see him staying. I do think he likes it here. We all know that his wife goes to school in the city, in Cambridge. And I think that he has liked it. And I do think that knowing that this is the Alex Bregman team, especially now that you don't have the mirage of the $300 million player perhaps at face of the team. No, I mean, I could see Alex Bregman staying here. So I would strongly suggest that I do not think he is going to be traded. I don't think he's going to be dealt.
How much longer can they keep trotting out Walker Buehler every fifth day?
Well, he's going to get one more at least.
Yeah,
I mean, he's going to get. I mean, it's honestly,
that's too many, Rob.
Yeah, I know. I mean, if you want to match, and the one thing I like about Buehler is that he reminds me of Beckett back in the day, where like his best press conferences is when he's bad. You know, he takes accountability and you know, says I stink and all that stuff. And he also was honest the other night about how he understands the dynamic when it comes to the rotation and guys coming back. And that's true. I mean, look at, you know, you have Harrison coming back. Hauk, who knows what's going on? I mean, that hasn't really gone well. But I think it's really, if you have other options, he has to perform. Right now, you don't really have any other options. So you keep running them out.
What's going on with Cutter Crawford? And when I say what's going on, I know he's done for the year. What happened?
I don't know, man. I wish I could tell you. I mean, maybe we'll get
try
some
to
answers.
We're going to speculate coming up. You haven't heard anything. You don't know anything.
No, I mean, we haven't seen him, and maybe we'll see him tomorrow when they're back home. Mm-hmm. But you know, I know that. You know, they said, hey, this isn't anything
nothing to see here.
Yeah, don't ask any questions.
We won't tell you what happened. It was not a weird thing that he did. It was totally normal.
Weird.
How did you guys?
It reminded me, you know, anytime anything like this happens, a couple of things come to mind. Paxton Crawford way back in the day.
I remember that. What was that? He stepped on a glass or something like that? What was that?
Yeah, glass. I don't know what happened. Like,
it was hammered and fell out of bed.
I'm not saying this is the same thing, but anytime there's any mystery when it comes to injury. And then I remember a guy who I just interviewed, Michael Kopech. Michael Kopech, I was sitting in the clubhouse in Fort Myers, and everybody else had gone up to Bradenton, and he walks by the clubhouse with a cast on his hand. And I'm like, what? So I'm like, what happened to you? He's like, you're going to have to ask them. So I did ask them, and they were so fed up. They're like, nah, he got in a fight with his roommate. They were just like, that's exactly what happened.
Nice.
He got in a fight with his roommate. So, but I don't know. I mean, I hope that he's there tomorrow so we can ask him. But, you know, the thing is with Cutter Crawford, it's too bad, man. Like, he could have been part of the solution, but obviously not the case.
Real quick, because I know you got to run. How did you guys find out about Sale? Did the team tell you? Did he volunteer it? Did somebody report it? How did the Sale falling off
about
the bike
come out? The bike riding thing?
Yeah. How did we find out about that?
They said it.
They said it.
they said it.
No, that's what I'm saying. So the team,
yeah, they
the
came
team
out
told
it?
Us.
Yeah, we forgot.
Okay. I just couldn't remember.
And a lot of people thought, you know, but that led to like, well, was it a bike? We don't have television footage of it, or we don't want to have proof of it. I mean, so, and that led to all kinds of different questions. What are you doing riding a bike? All of that. But, you know, yeah, that's what they said out of the gate.
Okay.
All right.
Rob Bradford, WEEI.com, Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. Check it out on the Odyssey app. Bradfo, enjoy watching the Red Sox. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Rob. Right. You want to know a little bit of Michael you know, I'm the WAG expert.
Yeah.
This one will blow your mind.
I know you're the
Do you know who Michael Kopech went out with at one point?
I have no idea.
A deep cut.
Okay.
Your wife would know who this is. So, okay. Croy Bierman.
Yeah.
The football player for the Falcons. He was married. And like, it's popped
What's
up
her name? When you say her name, I'm going to know
Kim Zolciak.
Yes, yeah.
Who was like Real Housewives of Atlanta on this Bravo show.
Kopech dated her? Or Kim?
No, daughter. Kim's daughter dated Kopech for a while. I think he's with somebody else.
I think all these Bravo daughters now have a show.
Oh.
I think
she's probably there talking about Kopech. She's like, yeah, 100-mile-an-hour fastball. Now he's with somebody else.
Could have been me. Could have been Paul Skeens.
That's right.
Could have just missed. It's Jones and Keefe. We're brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. Visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. Red Sox won't tell us what happened to Cutter Crawford. But Keith and I have some guesses, some ideas.
Got some ideas.
Could have gone down.
Wrist injury, you say? All right.
Well, if it was a neck injury, I'd have a guess. I can tell you that. It's only two ways those happen. A car accident and something else, as Larry David once said. We'll get into that and some other odd baseball injuries. You just heard a couple of them there. That's next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Next. Good pull, Nick.
It's like I almost just heard somebody mention it.
It's almost like we just brought it up.
I just went down a Michael Kopech rabbit hole because Joe on Twitter says, Keith, can't believe you didn't know that Michael Kopech was married to a Riverdale actress. They're now divorced. So Riverdale's show I love.
Yeah. Lanny and Nick have caught none of this, by the way. Strap in. This is pretty good.
So this is pretty good. Yeah, so yeah. Michael Kopech.
Yeah.
Who got referenced by Bradford, sent me down a tailspin.
Similar to Carlos Santana.
Correct.
Yeah.
So Kopech was going out with Kim Zolciak's daughter. Mm-hmm. She's a Real Housewives of Atlanta star. He then broke up with her. He then got engaged to Vanessa Morgan, who was on Riverdale. You would definitely know her. She played Tony on Riverdale. Yeah, nice. That's right, yeah. So they got married in January of 2020. They filed for divorce in June of 2020.
Well, that's...
And then she gave birth to their first child in January of 2021.
Okay.
And then he is now with a fitness instructor.
Nice.
And they're about to have two kids.
Oh.
But also... Well, yeah.
It's a real roller coaster with this guy.
I'm going to call back.
Fitness instructor? Nice. Yeah. Two kids?
Hustle a week.
Yikes.
And then she has a kid from another relationship, too, and so does he. But... I was reading up on Kopech, who, again, was a big prospect here at the Red Sox.
Yeah, he was the Chris Sale trade.
Did you know that in 2024, Kopech became the second White Sox pitcher to throw an immaculate inning in the first since Sloppy Thurston in 1923?
So Sale never threw one, and Sloppy Thurston?
Yeah, Michael Kopech and Sloppy Thurston.
What year was that?
1923.
Okay.
So post... Black Sox. So when they were really
the
kind of...
Depression era White Sox.
Yeah. This is after they told Shoeless Joe Jackson to hit the bricks.
Get out of here.
They're like, you lead the league in triples, but you're done.
We're cleaning it up. We're bringing in Sloppy Thursday.
Right.
Exactly. So, I would, as I said to Keith off the air, I would not Urban Dictionary that.
No.
Yeah, God, I would not look up what a Sloppy Thurston is.
You think the reverse Paul Brown something. Get a load of the Sloppy Thurston.
Yeah, you can't watch that on a work computer.
No.
There's no way.
It was good, though.
Certainly the sexiest position.
The Sloppy Thurston is Chef's sexiest. I mean, wow.
It's got to be up there.
You know? I'm not going to kink shame.
So
I'm
in a very related note, Cutter Crawford's out with a mysterious injury, a wrist injury for Cutter Crawford.
Yeah. So, and again, I love you heard Cora there.
I'm going to
No, that wasn't Cora.
He goes, it was an accident, not irresponsible behavior.
No. He wasn't racing jet skis or anything like that. Or maybe he was, depending on what you call that. So he out for the year. We knew he was injured. We knew he was out. But then, like, an update to the story is he's now out for the year, and it was a wrist injury, not on the field. Yeah. So it wasn't like had nothing to do with baseball.
That's where I've gotten most of my wrist injuries away off the field. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, pretty fine on the field. So could be anything. Now, we're going to find out what this was.
I would think.
So one of my favorites, there's been a few just Red Sox pitchers. Eduardo Rodriguez went on the IL once for bumping his elbow on his car, like his car door. Nice. He like walked into his car door.
Oh.
Then there was Clay Buchholz, I think, went on the IL. He was laying in bed with his kid, remember? And they like threw off his neck or something.
He tweaked something, which I got to be honest, I feel very differently as a father.
Oh, I get it. Sometimes I'm like, oh my God.
When that story happened in real time, I'm like, there's no chance.
It's definitely true.
I get it. I get how carrying around like a little 20-pound bowling ball can definitely tweak something. Yeah.
There was one guy that slipped on like the wrapper of a Big Mac. So it was like, you know how like that material of the Big Mac could be pretty slippery?
Yeah.
And so it was an empty wrapper, and he like slipped on it and went down. I think he went to the IL. Those are all baseball injuries.
If we don't hear from Cutter Crawford, Bradfell thinks he might be around like tomorrow. They're back home tomorrow. Yeah. Maybe he'll be available in the clubhouse.
My first question, what happened?
No, but like if he doesn't answer it, then like what's going on? Guys, trust me, I was being a professional.
Yeah.
Nothing weird was going on.
I don't know.
Did anything cross your mind when you first
heard
about it?
30 straight hours of Skyrim. That'd be more of a thumb injury, I guess, than a wrist injury. But yeah, I don't know. I mean,
nothing?
Nothing. I can't think of a single thing as to what happened with
him. Are you sure?
I can't.
Okay. I thought you had some suggestions. But
no.
Okay.
I'm trying to look up this Big Mac thing, and the AI overview popped up with, you guys might remember, Dustin May last year tore his esophagus on a piece of lettuce and missed the season.
Piece of lettuce. I remember Mike Minor had a very intense surgery. Remember Mike Minor?
No. What did he have?
Well, he had like a penis surgery done.
I remember Kaz Matsui had a rough one.
What did Kaz Matsui have?
I believe it was anal fissures.
How long an IL stint is that?
Good question. Let me look that up.
Kaz Matsui?
If you own Kaz Matsui on your fantasy baseball team at the time, his injury is burned into your brain. He had to repair an anal fissure.
Oh, boy.
In 2008. That was a spring training injury, Keith.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not sure how long he was down for. Let me look that up.
Oh,
get to the
God.
Bottom of it. No pun intended.
Aroldis Chapman.
Uh-huh.
In 2022, when he was pitching for the Yankees.
Ooh, he was out through at least June with this injury.
With the anal fissures?
Yeah.
Aroldis Chapman back in 2022 went on the 15-day IL due to a leg infection from a tattoo.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you got to put like cream. You got to keep that clean.
I can see how that could happen.
You got to rub certain stuff on it.
Sure.
The Twitch chat saying that Joel Zamaya hurt himself playing Guitar Hero.
Yep. Yes! That's a good
wrist,
one. That's
wrist
a
injury.
One. I forgot
it's
about
a wrist
that.
Injury.
Oh. Wow.
Do you think Cutter Crawford was playing Guitar Hero? Maybe. They need to remake Guitar Hero, by the way. It's
How
been
many
a long
make?
Time.
Two? Three?
No, at least three, I think. Mm. Then there was Rock Band, which you had a fake drum set. You got a guy play bass, too, and someone sing.
Mm-hmm.
That was a blast.
That was, what's the slap in the bass? Weren't they playing Rock Band in that?
No, slap in the bass.
Were they real? That was a real band?
There's a Rock Band episode of South Park.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Because Randy can actually play the guitar, and the kids didn't care at all about it. And then he got obsessed.
He's playing Kansas.
He got obsessed with the Rock Band. He put down the real guitar to play that.
Nice.
There was a story written about Clay Buchholz once back in like when he was rehabbing in Portland, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody was like in the clubhouse, like just like writing like a whole bio on him. And literally in the story was, he's the greatest Guitar Hero player I've ever seen. I'm like, okay.
I've never seen anyone like this.
They're like, his hand-eye coordination. I'm like, his hand-eye coordination? Yeah, he's a Guitar Hero?
Big hands, I bet, though. It makes sense on a pitcher. I bet big hands is probably a big...
Cover all the buttons.
Big advantage. Yeah. That's what they used to say about Sloppy Thurston back in the day.
I guess Max Scherzer went on the IL after he got bit by his dog at home.
Okay. That happened to Brady.
Yeah. Jonathan Villar from the Cubs.
Uh-huh.
He had a exercise band snap back into his mouth, causing him to damage it that required dental work. So he went on the IL.
That's why I don't do any exercise, Keith. Mm-hmm. You're just asking for it.
Let's see. Oh, you remember this one? Remember JD Martinez in 2021? This was actually on the field. It was like the end of the inning, and he was just jogging back, and he stepped on the base wrong. That was in 2021, and then he went on the shelf.
Imagine him now. With
he stepped awkwardly on the base, jogging out to his position in between innings.
Imagine like Kendrys Morales celebrating the Grand Slam.
That
was a random ball player. That one came up in random ball player recently.
Tom Brady speaking has a gash in his leg bitten by one of the security dogs.
I told you. I told you that happened to Brady.
That's still good.
Imagine JD Martinez with the giant bases now.
He got bit by a dog.
How come no one's talking about this?
It should be a bigger story.
Bitten by a dog after practice.
Well, I don't know why the dogs are out there, but it happens.
Well, we got Jabba Chamberlain jumping on the trampoline with his kid.
I remember that one.
I hated Jabba. I also remember. You're the one who's been to Cleveland. I imagine those were just everywhere.
Yeah.
This is good. Sloppy Thurston sounds like an adult film actress. That is true. That'd be it's a good porn name.
Yoenis Cespedes once hurt his ankle when he was on a ranch, and he twisted his ankle falling into a hole.
Wait, somebody sent one with him. He got something with him and a giant boar or a wild boar? I thought that's what you were about to say.
Yeah. Oh, you thought a boar?
Well,
possible.
I mean, look, that's what the text line says. Okay. Let's not take it as gospel, but that is one, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Nice. All right, but they're not going to tell us what this is, which makes it even more suspect.
Sean Kelly cut the tip of his right thumb off while trying to clean knives. He's washing dishes. He cut the...
Trevor Bauer destroying his hand on the drone.
Oh, great one.
That was good.
What an idiot.
Trevor Bauer, though.
Good guy.
Well, I don't even... There's a whole side there. Something there.
There you go. That's the latest on Cutter Crawford. Not helping the
Wishing
team.
Wishing him the speedy recovery.
He has a totally normal injury.
Guys, it's not anything. Guys, it's not weird.
Don't look...
We're not going to tell you.
Don't look at his internet browser.
No.
Whatever you do, do not look at his internet history. So there you go. That's the latest there. 617-779-7937. We'll get back to your feedback. We'll get back to the Celtics as well. They did nothing last night.
Marty Cordova fell asleep in a tanning bed. He sunburned his face. And had to go.
He comes out. He's like, guys.
He didn't play in any day games for a while. Success.
He got a good base tan. He should have.
Yeah, that's a good
he's
point.
A vampire.
Yeah, that's true.
So the Celtics did nothing last night. We're going to go on the clock and give you our plans for the rest of the Celtics offseason in just 60 seconds. We'll take yours as well coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.